This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Remain indoors. Welcome to our quarantine sideshow, Melro 210. It's another week of quarantine, you guys. Are you excited about that?
I love it.
Yeah.
I am here, as always, with my two best friends. Eric Siska.
Let me just take the gun out of my mouth. We're week eight. Is that it?
I think we're on week eight here,
nice.
Pal.
Yeah.
And Andrew Jupin.
Yo.
Chris Cabin is always in our hearts, but not in our ears. So we're just going to push on without him. He's fine. We promise.
Yeah, dude, you can't fucking bury that dude. He's having dental surgery. No.
He's missing and presumed dead. Update. Chris Cabin has been found in a ditch. Update.
This guy, Mr. Danzel's got a real...
Stack vibe?
He does.
Stack. Yep.
A stack voice. We are talking about, it's Monday, so we're talking about Beverly Hills 90210, Season 1, Episode 6, Higher Education, original air date, November the 15th, 1990. This is kind of a regular-ish episode. It's almost too regular.
It's a little too regular, and I'll tell you what I got a big problem with right up front, man. You can't tell me that this sexy teen nighttime soap opera has an episode called Higher Education, and it is not about someone smoking weed.
That's true.
I was sitting here like, I got a couple things wrong with this title.
So, question for the 210 head, Steve Sadak. Do they ever address marijuana in this series?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I don't. When Tiffany Amber Thiessen shows up, she smokes pot in the Walsh household.
Oh,
whoa.
Fuck.
Jim, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. Oh, well, she's 19. I guess she could do what she wants, but oh, that smells funny.
What is she, some like cow fucker cousin or something?
Yeah, she is like a cow fucker. Not a cousin, but like a friend from home that had it rough, and now she moves out with the Walshes and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, you know, weird. Brenda's going to go off to Paris and live her dreams. We're just going to replace her with another woman in the house. Oh, weird. When she left, it just so happened that our cool cousin Roy was up in town.
Hey, Mr. W.
it's just so naked and so amazing. So yeah, this episode is about we're talking about cheating on there's two stories. Brandon is in a very tough class with Mr. Denzel, not Mr. Denzel Washington. I wish.
That's what I
did. The name placard spoiled it for me though.
It's crazy.
He spells it differently.
Oh, he does?
It's Danzel. Yeah.
Danzel. Yeah.
Okay. For legal reasons.
I was
reasons.
Saying Denzel. And Brenda's story is she wants to fuck Dylan real bad. Dylan kind of lets it go that he likes blondes, and then hilarity sort of ensues and some sexiness.
Definite sexiness, man. I had my radar out for that.
Really? Where was the sexy?
This is the motorcycle scene, which we're going to get to, dude.
Yeah, dude. Some serious flirtation.
Yeah, there's... Yeah. Yeah, but you don't
want to shine your balls for this episode.
All right, we'll get there. You know, it's sexier for you guys. I wanted it a little steamier, but it's fine. Mm.
It's a light flirtation. So we kind of just open up at the Peach Pit. We have a full-on Peach
Exterior,
Pit.
Exterior, dude.
Exterior, interior. Welcome to this fucking haunted diner. My God, just playing like...
Dude, it is like straight out of fucking David Lynch once again.
all of us lost souls gather here at the Peach Pit to order the pie we used to get in the 50s.
Oh, yes. Welcome to the Peach Pit, a.k.a. Dead Man's Diner.
Brandon, you've always been here.
Oh, in the kitchen, Nat is blowing a man in a dog costume.
The guy, Mr. Denzel's got blood dripping off his head. Top me off, Brandon.
Another slice of peach pie, Lloyd.
Wonderful diner, isn't it?
They light this diner a little bit better later on in the series, but the way they're lighting it here, it is very, it's creepy. It's downright creepy because it
reminded me of, Steve? The episode of The Twilight Zone where they're at that diner and it's like, someone in this diner is an alien.
Yes, exactly. Nat takes off his hat and he's got a third eye.
Totally.
Well, that name is alien, so... Nat? Well, that would be an alien's name, Nat.
Oh, yeah. His name is like Nat1204X. He's a fucking robot. I'm a peach pie making robot, Brandon.
Yeah, it's the most advanced scientific development in human history. And we made him look like a ragged old Italian guy with a mullet.
We like diners. It's fun. You know, I miss diners more than anything. But peach pit is just so disgusting. All right. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, it's gross. You get to like the pit of a peach. And one, that means like your snack is over.
It's not right, what you eat, though. Like you're naming it after something you don't ingest from the food.
Welcome totally. To the orange rind.
Yeah.
It's like, but at least orange rinds are fresh. Like a peach pit to me is like, it's chewed, it's in a paper towel that you cover up and put it at the bottom of the garbage.
They should have called it crumpled up paper towel.
Hey, Brandon, I'm expanding the franchise. Next week in San Diego, I'm opening a new diner. It's called the Banana Peel.
Wish, dude. So he's there, and his teacher is there, Mr. Danzel. And he's like, oh, cool. Let me just sidle up to my teacher. Hey there, Mr. Danzel. He's like, can I fucking get my steak fries, please? Hey, kid, sideburns. Let's move it.
Dude, he does not have a second for this kid. And it's fucking great because he's like, oh, hey, Mr. Danzel. And the guy's like, mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I'm Brandon Walsh. I'm in your whatever period history class. And he's like, coffee, don't make me tip the glass. This guy's got no time for this kid.
I love it too, because it's like, listen, I'm not fucking teaching. I'm not your substitute mommy right now.
Exactly,
so why don't you fucking fill up the glass?
You know what? I'm not getting benefits or fucking paid right now, so fill my fucking glass.
He's actually paid to talk to you, and right now he's not paid to talk to you, so shut the fuck up.
So that's kind of that scene. Nat says that he's a regular. He's always been here, possibly.
Oh, yeah.
Wind goes through the peach pit, and suddenly Mr. Danzel's sitting there.
I just can't. It is so creepily lit this episode. And the fucking like fake Roy Orbison we're playing all the time.
Yeah, just like twangy guitar. I'm like, oh. Again, like as if a ghost was singing.
So we get to school. We finally see this class. It's Mr. Danzel. There's a lot of, I think somebody marched on down to the writer's office and was like, I noticed the last couple of episodes are a little Donna light. Not enough Donna in those episodes.
Just saying, you know, in this scene here, the way the script is written, Mr. Danzel gives the test back and no one makes any comments. But I thought, what if right in here we had Donna slip in a few comments about how the teacher's dressed?
Okay.
She's just like, I mean, it's such a pointless addition of dialogue. She's like, oh, hey there, Brandon. Look at how stupid his suit looks.
Tori, we're going to take that again. You can't call Jason Jason. His character name is Brandon.
Okay? What?
If they wanted to name a diner after garbage, they should have called it Donna's.
Welcome to Donna's.
She should be wearing a face mask at all times.
She really should, quarantine. Dude. She's just going around spitting on people.
Yes.
But actually, oddly enough and stupidly enough, that clothes comment is like part of the episode. Like it's a part of the theme, I guess, or this character's trait.
Well, it's one of the like things the teacher's known for. Like he's known for being like a hard ass who only teaches toward the tests and a bad dresser.
I mean, like, he's a 90-year-old man. Who cares? Like, he's wearing a suit. It's not like he's wearing, like, fucking clown shoes.
Honestly, it didn't look that out of place.
It's not that bad, first of all. But secondly, when you find out why,
yeah,
it is one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever heard.
I love it.
So, Denzel passes back the test that everybody took last time. Brandon gets a C. There must be some mistake. I'm Brandon Walsh.
Mr. Denzel, can I speak to your manager?
It seems I've gotten a C. But he explains that only 10% of the class can get an A because of a fucking curve. I've never had a curve in school. This seems like a thing. I mean, I'm sure it happened, but it's fucking stupid and it doesn't make any sense. It's like, I don't know, like,
people do
grade
it,
me out of a fucking 100, dude.
Steve, didn't we have a curve in that math class that you failed?
I think I was too low to understand. I got like a 20 something on that.
You got a 20 in this is a college class you guys took, a math requirement.
I got a full on F. A full on I have failed, not a D, an F.
Wow. I took a math class, not the same ones as you guys, but I got a C, and that was what I was going for, and I was so happy.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I thought I was like, okay, I'll just, you know, I'll put it in neutral here. I'll walk out with a C. Everybody's cool. And then she's like, here's your F, sir.
Dude, I have to say, Steve, though, looking back on that class, your neutral was a pretty aggressive neutral.
What kind of math class was this again?
It was calculus.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, what are you doing that for?
It was just the math requirement, and that was like the lowest one that was available to me at the time.
I took statistics.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I was always terrible at those, but I took the pre-calc because that was the last math I was good at in high school. And I did okay. I got an A in that class.
I will say that they had a thing where if you took the same class over again and got a better grade, they would take the better of the two grades. I wound up taking it with a different teacher. I upped my game a bit, but I still cut quite a bit, and I still got it. I got to wound up with an A as well. So that, you know, just,
you got an A.
Yeah, I got an A. I'm okay. I'm actually real. I'm pretty okay in math if I even half give a shit.
That's the thing. It's not a reflection of your math skills.
Certainly
Steve.
Not. No.
It's a reflection of your desire to stay back at the apartment, drink gin, and watch Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Exactly. And or play Mario Baseball.
Oh, fuck. Dude, Nintendo needs to get Mario Baseball, a new version on Switch immediately.
Especially now if they've canceled real baseball. Release the Mario Baseball.
So do you think at the end of all this, like, Mario is going to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame, the football? Because he's going to be our sporting champion,
right?
Because we can't have real sports anymore.
He's going to be like the Mr. Universe of sports.
In 30 years, there's going to be like the Last Dance, but it's Mario.
Mario and Luigi were breaking up. They were breaking up Mario and Luigi. They were adding Sonic. You know, it was a big fucking deal. I would watch that documentary.
Yes, I would.
So, blah, blah, blah. That's the thing. Andrea gets an A. Steve Sanders gets an A. And everyone's like, hold on, that kid's a racist. No, actually, we've forgotten that entirely. Even though the last line of the last episode was, it's our school, Brandon. Like, it's fucking school ties. But we're pretending that's not happening in this episode.
Instead, it's much more of a Biff Tannen, I'm fucking cheating on this test thing. And I got to tell you, the second it's like Steve Sanders, A, I was like, okay, without reading the episode description, I now know that this episode is somehow related to cheating on tests. Yeah.
At first, I thought it was like, oh, of course. Okay, the racist, he's great at American history. Check that.
And they should have all been wiped out.
Yeah.
A plus. Because we're learning a lot. I mean, there's a lot of Indian, American Indian facts thrown around. That's like the unit we're covering.
Right.
We're spilling a lot of ink. It's fine. And we're trying, like, to be a little quote-unquote woke about it. Because it's not like, well, it was our land the entire time. Like, they're doing a lot of, like, teaching about, like, massacres and Andrew Jackson and so on and so forth.
I was actually kind of surprised because at the age of this teacher, dude, I was like, he's got to be for these fucking reservations, right?
Yeah.
This dude helped set those up.
That's what I was about to say. He was putting them in. He almost fell out of a guard tower and died during.
Oh man!
I was the last one to see Mr. Custer alive. I carried his conch. So whatever. We're kind of walking around the hallway. Andrea's like, "Hey, Brand," and like Andrea like so wants to fuck this dude, and she's like, "Hey, you know." It sucks you gotta see it. The problem is she can't get out of her own way a little bit. That's kind of the problem. She's like, stinks yeah. you gotta see. Like, she's trying to flirt, but it comes off the wrong way. It's like, you know, maybe just try studying a little more with me. And he's like, whatever, Andre, you fucking idiot.
And it's like she's like double timing it here, too, because there's a lot of that going on. But she prefaces all of it with, you better have that fucking report on the swim team done, Brandon.
Well, because he even says, like, you know, it's kind of hard, Andrea, when I also have a real job at Nat's Haunted Restaurant. She's like, well, I'm running a paper. It's like, no, you're not.
It is a school club.
This is also like really cutting Brandon, because apparently history was his greatest grade and he really thought he had this under control.
He did not. Then we see, again, a lot of Donna, actually, this is Kelly and Brenda run into Dylan in the hallway. They're like kind of following him around puppy dogishly because it's fucking Luke Perry. I'm still not in on these fucking overalls. I don't get him.
He's got to stop trying to make this a thing.
He's in like full Carhartt in this episode.
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, were you just coming from, like, plowing a bunch of snow? Like, why are you wearing
No,
this?
I was plowing ladies at my hotel I live in.
I was getting a French girl pregnant.
And it's kind of...
With my wee-wee. I put my wee-wee in her.
He's smooth until he has to talk about his dick, and then he's just saying wee-wee the whole time.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, I didn't take my wee-wee out for air.
I do love there's a line, and it's kind of, you know, I feel like, you know, we're in this episode, we're dealing with a midterm situation. So we're at like, I don't know what it's supposed to be, like November or so, probably, right?
Sure.
And, you know, so like Dylan and Brandon are friends. We've had that established episodes previously. It's only in this episode that he meets Brenda and he's like, so you're Brandon's sister, huh? And I'm like, where have you been?
Well, he kind of met her not really in that last episode when their pal came to town. Like, when they're all kind of getting into cars, she just kind of gives him a head nod, but they don't really have any dialogue.
Yeah, you're totally right.
So that's kind of, like, retrofitted to make it more... Because I think at some point they're like, well, she's got to get with this dude, so there needs to be some, like, real... passion. Yeah,
right. Well, he negs her right out of the gate saying, no, absolutely. Your hair is stupid. I like blonde girls.
Yeah, well, he looks at, like, they're like, oh, do you like blondes or brunettes? Like, it's fucking Betty and Veronica, Archie. Speaking of, he's on that Riverdale
show. Oh,
that's
right.
But he's like, oh, yeah. He looks right, Brenda, right in the face. Like, I like blondes, man.
Take that, other girl.
So Brandon brings Andre over to study, and this is my favorite scene in the episode. Is like, you know, Jim Walsh is coming home from a fucking long day of ripping off poor people, and and, you know, they're like, ooh, you know who's upstairs, hon? It's that Andrea that everyone's talking about.
Better not be that family I foreclosed on.
Dude, I love this exchange. First of all, Carol and Jim Walsh are so concerned. Like, they are horny for how horny their kids are.
Mm-hmm.
And because Carol is like, he's upstairs studying with Andrea. Yeah. And then fucking James Eckhouse is like, Andrea.
Ooh.
And it continues upstairs. I'm not going to spoil the thing that you want to talk about, Steve, but after that thing, James Eckhouse opens the door to Brandon's bedroom where they're studying, and Andrea and Jim Walsh definitely make fuck eyes at each other. Did you catch this exchange?
Well, they're the same age. It works out.
I couldn't believe this. Like, he comes in and he's like, studying, huh? Yep. What are you studying? American history. Okay, then. Hi, Andrea. Closes the door creepily.
I'll be thinking about you later. you know, Cindy, you should really start wearing glasses.
Say, Cindy, can I start calling you Andrea? Or at least Sandy?
Oh, you got a school paper due, huh?
you're 40 and you're the valedictorian.
This is what I think of the swim team. Oh, so he's gonna James Eckhouse cosplaying as Brandon goes to school.
Oh man,
what's up, fellow kids?
Yeah, exactly.
I shaved my back and taped it to my sideburns.
No, this is Brandon. I just had a growth spurt.
Before this, Brandon, we cut into Brandon's bedroom, and like Andrea is like going through his stuff, essentially. You know, it's her first time there. She's curious. She likes him, obviously. Brandon comes out of the shared bathroom and does the "sorry about that," which is grade A, I was just taking a shit.
It's international code for I was taking a shit.
It's been 15 minutes. I know you think that something went wrong, and guess what? It did.
And you know, the other thing about this, I get it, man. Life happens. It comes at you fast. You know, you got to stop and look around every once in a while. But if you are studying with a person in your room and you are stricken and have to take a shit, I guarantee you there's more than one bathroom in that house.
Yeah, I agree.
You have to find a secondary toilet and not take a massive fucking dump 3 feet away from this girl.
Yes, the furthest toilet possible.
Go shit in the yard.
And they're like, you know, she asks him a question and he goes, "Wrong!" And she's like, okay. Actually, I'm right, because Andrew Jackson was actually responsible, not the legislature, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, "Oh, Andrea, why are you so condescending all the time?"
And she's like, "Why are you yelling?"
Like, why am I here to be yelled at? And she leaves. And he never apologizes in this episode. Never fucking ever apologizes.
They do that
blowout.
Bullshit. They do that fucking bullshit thing that I hate in all forms of television and film writing, where one character is apologizing to another one, but they don't do it, and they instead do like a fucking backdoor apology of like, "Well, I decided to do the right thing because I have this friend who I really care about."
Yeah. But,
and I'm like, just shut the fuck up. Just say you're an asshole and you fucked up and you're sorry and get on with it.
I love it's fucking poor Brenda, man. The more I rewatch this, it's like Brenda cannot catch a break. She's just looking in the mirror and like fixing her hair. She imagines herself Tracy Lord style for a second. And she, all Cindy knows is she's looking at a mirror and she's like concerned immediately. And she's like, goes up to her, she's like, "You're pretty enough, Brenda. Just shut the fuck up and get away from that mirror."
Oh my God, I loved it, dude. She's freaking out for no reason.
It's like, can I just fucking look at a mirror in my own home? Stop hogging the mirror, Brenda.
Brenda.
I wish your name was Brenda. You'd be more like Brandon, our angel.
That's true. They hate the daughter.
They do. They really, really do. So she's, that's her thing. And Brandon is, we cut back to the peach pit. We cut to Steve Sanders. It's the next test. He gets another C. And then Steve is like, "Hey, man, why don't you come study at my house?" And it's like, okay, let's learn about Steve Sanders. We see his insane house. There's just so much railing. It looks like a fucking, the facility from James Bond. It's a lot of rails.
I felt like I should be putting proximity mines somewhere, to be completely honest.
Oh, hey, Brandon, thanks for coming over. Ignore the quantum of solace over here. We're going to be doing our studies over here on the patio.
And, you know, they're at a pool, and, you know, Brandon finds out that Steve's parents are divorced a couple
like,
times.
Yeah, like twice divorced. It's kind of weird the way he describes it. He's like, "Yeah, we had a couple of divorces, kids coming in and out of here, different marriages in between, you know, the usual."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Your parents are together," and like there's a kind of fun gag of like, "It's not your fault." And Brandon's like, "That's kind of cool. I'm sorry your life is so sad." Wait, so your dad isn't up your ass 24/7?
Yeah. I kind of like that. I wish my parents hated each other.
It works out. So like whatever. This is when Steve kind of lays down the law and is like, "Hey man, you're asking the wrong questions. Ask these questions." And those are the exact same questions that he's going to ask on the test. How does Steve know? He's fucking cheating.
Yep. Of course he is. Of course he is. And like Brandon realizes it immediately.
Any of you guys ever cheat on a test?
I will cop to trying to like look over someone's shoulder here and there, but never this like I think this is a fake thing.
What, the crib sheets?
The I have a photocopy of a real test.
Oh no, I don't. I never had that, but I've definitely had like I've written stuff down in like small as I can write it, and like had it on a piece of paper and tried to shuffle it out during a test.
Right?
Did you get caught?
I believe I've always gotten away with it, but I it takes a toll on the soul because it's a wrong thing to do, obviously.
Yeah, and you'll never be able to answer all those history questions now.
No. But, I mean, this is also the fault of Mr. Danzel because he's old and stupid and complacent because it comes out towards the end of the episode that he just always uses the same test every year so people right. from other years can just keep their test and now everyone knows the answers for the following year.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's why it's, like, so plausible in this universe because he's been using the test, but, like, I never once heard of this, like, in the real world.
Where you steal the test from last blah, 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 and all
yes.
that. But, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, because it makes you a bad teacher. Like, you can't just be like, well, it's November 8th, time for the November 8th test. It's
yeah, like, exactly. Like, at least fucking, I don't know, like, mix up the order of the questions or something.
So, whatever. That's kind of going on. Brandon starts to... he realizes Steve is cheating. Steve's like, hey, man, everyone cheats. I'm a monster. And he's like, cool. And kind of we get a phase of Brandon cheating. And Mr. Danzel's like, oh, a new A student in my class. I like that.
Man, when he gets the fucking flawless victory on this one quiz, which then, by the way, fucks up the curve and makes Andrea get a C. Ha ha ha. the fucking teacher, like Danzel, he's like, now everyone rise and applaud Mr. Brandon Walsh, for he fucked the curve for you all and got a flawless victory. And like, you need the thing where Steve Sanders then has to be like, hey man, you're gonna fuck this up for us.
Exactly.
Like, you gotta fucking get like one or two wrong, dude.
But this actually brought back a lot of memories for me. I was a math class, obviously, that was my poorest subject. But I had a teacher, an old dude, who was, you know, of course he's nice to the students that do well, which we see in this episode with Brandon and all. But I was struggling in his class, and he gave me a test back, and it, you know, obviously it was like an F or whatever. And I said like, oh, it was really hard. And I'm brief aside with him, and I was like, could you like explain this one again? And this old dude just looks at me and says, but that was the easiest one, and walks away.
Oh, my whatever, God. Man.
Yep.
What an asshole.
I know, and I was praying for his death ever since, which must have happened by now.
Oh, for sure, he's long dead,
guaranteed.
My thing always was like when it was like, hey, you failed the test. Do you want to take it again? I was like, no, it's over. Like, you know what I mean? I've gotten through the life event. I've failed it. Cool, let's move on.
Press A to access your quick save.
Yeah, exactly.
Go back to the checkpoint.
Like, I am not at all retaking a test. No, thank you. So, whatever. Meanwhile, Brenda is really considering changing her hair. This is a bathroom scene with... Oh, so it's I see here you've got Kelly and Brenda having a nice conversation. What if... I don't know. What if Donna had something to say about maybe, ooh, what if her hairstylist was the guy who does Madonna?
Oh, dude, is that not dumb? I also love the, what if, Donna could come in here and look in the mirror and say one of the dumbest fucking things a human being could ever say, which is that she put two contacts in the same eyeball.
I mean, and
how does that happen?
I think the idea is we're trying to give her any kind of personality, and she's the ditz. But like, Tori Spelling can't pull that off at all. She's just like, I have both contacts in the same eye. Oops.
Kelly's got my favorite line of the episode when she's talking to Brenda about her hair, and she says it's a hair do, not a hair don't.
Yep.
And I was like, what the fuck?
I thought of you when I heard that.
I know.
Line,
I was like
Eric jokes.
I was like, wait, am I watching the recap or am I watching the episode?
Hey, she's stealing my bit.
Now, I've never worn contact lenses. I have perfect vision.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah, I know.
Mine's perfect too.
So there you go.
Mine is not.
But Steve, I also know that you just wear glasses. You do not wear contacts, but is it possible to put one contact lens over the other one like that?
I guess it if you're really drunk. I mean, like, I just...
Right? I mean, because, and if so, if that's possible, would you be able to leave the house, go to school, attend classes before realizing you did it?
No, no. I mean, again, this is like, well, this is like Woody Harrelson in Cheers, stupid. I think that's what we're trying to get to that with her. But again, like Woody Harrelson, good actor. He can make that joke funny.
Right. Yeah, you're totally, I mean, like, what if Donna was more like Woody Boyd?
whatever. So she winds up, Kelly comes over. She's like, I could do your hair for you because, you know, you can't afford these. Again, you guys just live in the fucking heart of Beverly Hills and you fucking live in a house on a hill. When Brenda goes for a jog, I'm like, nice fucking neighborhood, you middle class family.
Right.
Yeah, totally, dude. What the fuck?
Such bullshit.
And meanwhile, Jim Walsh is walking around in fucking yacht attire this whole episode. He's got a fucking tennis racket at some point. Like, you can't get this girl a fucking haircut.
I think Jim Walsh moved to Beverly Hills for Jim Walsh. And anything else after that can fucking suck his balls, dude.
He's just going to Coke parties all day long. Yeah, I'm
totally. He's living this life. He's living this life. The rest of his family can suck his Jim Walsh balls.
Yeah. Brandon gets a job. I will not pay his car insurance.
I mean, and you know, how much could that be? You stretch it out over the 6 month period, 1990, what, like $30?
Yeah, but it's trying to build character, guys, you know?
And that fucking Brenda won't do it. So she winds up, Kelly comes over to fix her hair and to dye it, and she does it wrong. She wakes up. It's comical. Although she kind of looks like Daryl Hannah from fucking Blade Runner here a lot.
Yes. Yes, she does. I didn't think of that until just now.
It's just like she's pale. It's orange. It's this big fucking like fro-ish kind of thing.
I mean, it's awful. She looks like a fucking Mad TV character.
Yeah, like Miss Swan.
Yes, it is kind of like that same wig.
And she's like, oh my God, blah, blah. And, you know, it's comical business. She has to wear a hat to school.
Oh, there's a great thing when Kelly is, she's like getting the fucking dye bottle ready. And Brenda's like, I don't know about this. You know, my mom, blah, blah, blah. And Kelly's like, you know what, Brenda, why don't you tell your mom to shut up because her hair needs to be fucking done over. And you could just tell, like, Brenda's like, oh my God, this my friend just insulted my mother. I don't know how to react to this. And then they both just kind of start laughing about it.
I will say stay tuned for next week. The perfect mom coming up. A lot of mom talk next week.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, mom talk.
I like Kelly's mom talk. Shows up.
And she's a good mom.
She's no. She thinks she's mom. The perfect mom, but she might be not.
Unsavory mom.
Exactly.
They do a very dumb joke when Brenda wakes up in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
They have the fucking screeching violins from Psycho as she's, it's like an exterior shot of the house. And she's like, oh, another day. Oh my God. Weet, 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 weet. And it's just like, all right, I fucking totally
the move
get
is
it.
You gotta open, you gotta do it like the Godfather, waking up with the fucking horse head in the bed.
That's what you want. It's Donna's horse head.
Wow. Wow. So she wears a hat to school, whatever. Brandon now, after getting the rousing standing ovation at the Peach Pit, Mr. Denzel is like, oh, my favorite student, Mr. Walsh. How's it going?
And now that you're an A student, we can hang out.
Exactly.
Let's go hang out together.
You want to come over to my house and watch a dirty movie, Mr. A student?
And then after that, some boozy bingo.
Yeah, like he's getting, you know, he's... They're just hitting it off. Steve shows up and he's like, hey, man, I got the fucking answers to the midterm, baby. And he's like, this is going too far. The midterm. I'm like, I don't know. Test the test.
Yeah. I mean, you're already in it now, Brandon. I appreciate there's an exchange between Dylan and Brandon where they're like, they see fucking Denzel from like across campus or something. And Brandon's like, oh, man, that Denzel, what a fucking son of a bitch. And Dylan's like, I don't know, man, he's kind of an all right guy. I learned a lot from him. And then, like, Brandon tells Dylan about the cheating. And, dude, fucking Luke Perry's reaction here is amazing. He's like, I don't know, Brandon, cheating, man, you're flirting with bad karma.
I love it.
And I was like, yes, I just need more of this in every episode, and we will be aces.
I love the idea that, like, Brandon is 15 or whatever, and or Brandon's 16, Dylan is 16 and a half, and he's seen some shit, guys. Yeah. He's lived a life, and he's just, 'cause every time he's like, oh, yeah, been there, man. You do not want to be fooling around with cheating or getting French girls pregnant. Yeah.
Dude, I think the thing is, Dylan is just kind of like an old soul who can recall his past lives.
Yes, yes, like he got a French girl pregnant in World War II.
Exactly, dude.
He was driving an ambulance at the time.
He served with Mr. Danzel in a previous body.
You know, I learned a lot in that French abortion clinic. So he, like, whatever, he's feeling a little... Andrea finds out that Brandon has been cheating because he does the Eric Siska crib sheet routine.
Yes.
But, I mean, classic. He does it like, holy shit, dude, he's showing the whole world.
This is totally egregious. Like, he doesn't know how to cheat.
No, you're a terrible cheater. Like, why would you put this... in the fucking book under your desk? Like, that's got to be in your pocket, man.
Yeah. You wear a long sleeve shirt. It's up your sleeve. Mm-hmm. You shake it out a little bit. Now you got something to work with.
The other side of this, though, is like, hey, Andrea, eyes on your own paper. What the fuck are you doing looking across the room?
She's just fucking getting mental snapshots for later, dude. Just looking at this dude.
Just getting a couple of snaps, dude. Well, this is because, like, I think what the problem is Brandon is kind of like staring off into the distance, and then like he makes eye contact with Danzel, and Danzel makes a fucking deal about it, and he's like, is there a problem, Mr. Walsh? Disrupting now the whole class trying to take this test.
Now, I know you're falling in love with me, Brandon, but you can't give me googly eyes. I love it.
Brandon, we'll discuss this over dinner tonight.
Brandon's looking at him. He closes his eyes, and it just says "love you" on his lids.
Brandon, this is not the peach pit. This is neither the time nor the place. What we do in that ghostly realm can never be seen during the waking hours.
Ghostly realm.
It is so creepy there. So whatever. Andrea storms out of class right after, and everyone is talking about cheating in the middle of the hallways, and I just can't handle it.
Not even the fucking hallway, dude. When they go to take the midterm, Brandon and Steve are in the middle of the room, and Brandon's like, hey, man, I decided not to look at the test you gave me. It's like, dude, what are we doing?
And a good day to you, sir.
And it's insane because even then, like, Steve Sanders reciprocates and he's like, yeah, well, that's your loss, not cheating on this test.
But yeah, she's like, I can't believe you cheated on the test. Oh my gosh. I had so. And I mean, like, it's a lot of Andrea's fault here. And also, you realize it's really like, yeah, everyone's older. Gabrielle Carteris is the oldest. But her talking about cheating on high school tests, it's just kind of embarrassing. Like,
it's
as an actress,
weird.
As an actress, she should be like, I work in the newsroom in this major metropolitan newspaper. You know, yep. Like, are we going to kill the story or what? You know what I mean? Or anything. Or like, oh, man, I think my boyfriend who is going to propose tomorrow. Like, these are storylines for Gabrielle Carteris.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is it's so weird because it's also like, it's kind of like a mom yelling at her son.
Yes, exactly. It comes in. It's like, I can't believe you're so irresponsible. And like, I had such high hopes for you. And I'm like, lady, do you want to fuck this dude or not? Because the way to do that is to be like, huh, that's cool. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
that's totally.
No, I want to raise him. I want to raise him.
Yeah, no. You should not be reminding him of Cindy fucking Walsh.
Hey, Brandon, I think this would look good on you. You know? And
Brandon, get your hair out of your eyes. You've got such pretty eyes.
Brandon, hold still. You have some schmutz.
Yeah, exactly. Spits in her finger, rubs it off. Also, Brandon, it's time to change your diaper, you fucking baby. Because I'm trying to channel some Chris Cabin on this.
There you go. Well, yeah, that's the thing. This episode's a lot less angry.
I got it. I'll do a Chris Cabin impression here. So then Brandon Walsh dares to wear a shirt that fucking child molester.
Oh, Kevin. You cut up.
Oh, is he back? Thank God. Oh, no. It was, oh, no, that's great. So she storms off like she always does. And like, because, and also like, Brandon is 1,000% in the wrong. And it's just like, shut up. And like, and like, knows he's wrong, but has nothing to do, but wants to like yell at her anyway. So Steve is like, hey, let's cheat on the midterm. And this is what Brandon doesn't want to do that anymore. And he wants to, Steve comes to the Peach Pit and he's like, hey, Walsh. During one of the Peach Pit sessions, Brandon's like, hey, man, goes to Denzel, you never would have given me the time of day. Also, you teach to the test. Also, you're a piece of shit. Hey, why are your teeth so fucked up? I'm teaching you a lesson.
I'm glad your wife's fucking dead. Dude, he dresses this old man down.
I know, like,
in like the doorway of this diner.
Yeah, a place that Denzel has been in more than Brandon ever will be.
Exactly. And also, like, this is his respite from a fucking horrible life. It's like,
yes.
Oh, the one thing I could do is, the one thing I can count on is Nat's bacon cheeseburgers. The one small joy in my life since Edna died.
This fucking 75-year-old man eating bacon cheeseburgers every day.
Yeah, that's not a great idea.
When he tells Brandon, like, I know everyone shits on me and shits on my clothes, but my ill wife picked them out before she deceased or whatever,
dude. And
great.
it's insane, because like, what he's trying, he can't even finish the thought because he starts getting too emotional, but he's trying to tell him like, yeah, like, my wife was ill and she bought me like a ton of clothes because she didn't want me to go without after she died, was what he's trying to say. Yeah. And I was like,
fuck.
I was like, oh my god, this is way too heavy for an episode that's pretty much about a bad dye job and cheating on history tests.
I just love it's her with a fucking oxygen tank going up and down Rodeo Drive in the fucking 90 degree heat.
You need more suits.
This is a real thing. Like, older men sometimes just have their wives dress them. There's an older dude that at a job I used to work at, and he was all like, my wife picked these shoes out.
Because
I guess someone made a comment about them. And he talked
about...
Was
he a widower?
No. Wife alive and well. It's just he does not dress himself.
Well, Eric, the thing is, dressing yourself could lead to vanity, which could lead to homosexuality. That's what'll
do it.
That's true.
You become a real junior soprano there, Steve. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
So,
Cunnilingus.
Cantilingus, right? With those guys?
So, whatever. Brandon decides not to cheat on the test. He does have this exchange. Well, Steve Sanders comes up. He's like, I thought you're gonna rat me out. And he's like, no, I wasn't going to rat you out, Steve. I just was yelling in the hallway about cheating.
I was hoping someone overheard us.
So, yeah, Brandon finds Mr. Denzel with his car with a flat tire. He decides to fix it, and Mr. Denzel's like, ooh, it must be my birthday.
Yeah. Could you fix that tire covered in oil and naked?
He kind of throws out a line here that I was like, how much money is the salary of West Beverly High history teacher? Because Brandon is like, oh, you got a flat tire, huh? And he's the dude, by the way, is sitting on the hood of his car with a flashlight reading a big old book.
I love
it. In the dark, right? And he's like, yes, I do have a flat tire, and I wish the auto club was as prompt as you were, or something like that. And he's like, what do you mean? You don't know how to change a flat tire? And he's like, you know, Brandon, I just prefer to let other people do things for me when I can throw money at the problem. And I was like, what?
I kind of agree with him there.
Yeah, it's
no, so do I. I'm not criticizing that, but I was just like, you're just like a public school teacher. What are we talking here, man? That you just like, you're talking about throwing money at things
dude,
like
this
that.
This is West Beverly, my friend.
Yes.
The Harvard of fucking public schools. I don't know.
Not only
but
that,
like, even
his only expense is fucking Nat's Diner. And all of his clothes were bought in 1975.
So. That's a really good point.
I guess that's just house is paid off. They have no children.
Right.
What do you think? A hoarder house, like a bunch of newspaper and fucking cat foods everywhere? Or what?
Well, that's what I think Denzel plans to do with his retirement, dude. He's going to fucking go home, feed his cat one last time, and then be crushed to death by a huge pile of newspapers.
Brandon! I can't get out, Brandon!
They're going to dig his corpse out and find a bunch of like flattened cats and shit in there.
I couldn't part with it. It was my wife. She bought these clothes. And when I said bought clothes, I mean a ton of them. They're everywhere.
Her body's in the bed wearing like a face mask. I had to put it on when she started to rot too much.
But oh, definitely, dude. There's a severe Mrs. Bates problem in the Danzel household.
We still make love every midnight.
So Brenda's like, I'm just going to go for a jog. She just wants to jog with a hat on. And Cindy Walsh is like, Brenda, get me that hat right now. And it's like, I don't know, Mom. Can I leave with a fucking hat on my head?
Dude, it's insane. There is one point, like, it's either here or like right before this, where Cindy Walsh tells Brenda the story of how she destroyed her and her sister's hair because of a Beach Boys song. She's just like, Brenda, I get it. In the summer of 1960, whatever, me and your sister wanted to be blonde because they told us they wanted us to all be California girls. And I was like, oh, Cindy.
And also, like, Cindy Walsh is seeing this girl, like, fucking humiliated. Like, the move as a parent is to be like, okay, let's go to the hair salon tonight and we'll fix it together. And you don't have to go to Donna's $300 haircut. I get it. But there's like a $40 haircut you get this girl that'll fix it.
Yes, I don't get why there's no options. And then she needs Dylan to rescue her hair. Like, why can't her parents do something with her or engage in her life in any meaningful way?
Brenda, just checking in real quick here. You asked me for help. And before I respond, I just got to confirm. Are you Brandon? Because unless you're Brandon.
Yeah, if you're not Brandon, take a fucking hike.
And she's like, you give me that fucking hat, Missy. Everyone needs to see your shame. She's like, awesome. She goes on a run, and Dylan's got this motorcycle. Got a great... I always love when theme song scenes come to life. It's the motorcycle Luke Perry ripping his helmet off scene.
Absolutely, yep.
I also noticed this time around, Scott and David not in this episode. Everybody else in the theme song, and I can't. You could. This is coming down to Cindy Walsh. Even we're in the theme song. Three or four scenes of them doing stuff, and Jason Priestley, and Carol Potter, and James Eckhouse. Douglas Everson as Scott, one scene. It's him in the computer, and Douglas Everson shows up. And it's like, get this guy out of my fucking theme song.
In and out, dude. We got priorities here. We got to get James Eckhouse on screen playing that fucking keyboard.
That is still the funniest thing.
It really, really is. Oh, actually, Steve, I noticed another thing from the intro that I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
To detour us really quickly. Andrea's run through what's her name? Valerie Carteris?
Gabrielle Carteris.
Gabrielle Carteris. There's a shot where it looks like Andrea is in some sort of like fashion show or like award ceremony thing or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think that's coming up next week, by the way.
All right. Well, if it's that close, I'm not gonna ask for a spoiler, but it looks like a thing where it could have been a real douche chill Carrie moment for her.
No, nice.
And I only realized it because she's like, she's got makeup on, she's smiling, she's in public. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, are they going to drop blood on this girl's head?
They're all going to laugh at you, Andrea. Well, Brandon Walsh does have a fucking John Travolta in Carrie vibe too, by the way.
Yeah, I fucking buy that. I really do.
So whatever, she's running and Dylan stops off, takes his helmet off. He's like, hey, nice haircut, idiot. And she's like, I don't know, man. I thought you liked blondes. And he's like, I like blondes, brunettes, redheads. Pause. Look at her. Girls in tank tops. Steamy stuff, dude.
Yeah.
It's a line. It's a good line.
Mm-hmm. Fuck, dude. Even I got a little horny there. Couldn't even believe it. I was like, you know he's not talking to you, right?
Were you in a tank top?
And you know you're not wearing a tank top. Oh.
I hope not. and she's like, oh. And he's like, you know, if you're that upset about your dumb haircut, I have one of the many people, my network of people, which includes Nat, the people who work at other places. Like, he's just got this he's a half a year older than everybody, and he's got a network of fucking people that could do him favors.
Of course, because he was friends with all their parents in another life, and their grandparents before that.
He's like, I know a hairstylist that owes me a favor. Why don't you hop on my bike? We'll get that fixed for you. By the way, no girl of mine is going to have hair like that. And she's like, oh, yeah, I like your butt. Oh, bike. And he's like, well, hop on my bike. And I'm like, yeah, obviously. Hop on my butt.
Hop on my butt.
Just hop on my butt, Brenda. Hop on my butt right now. Also, I think
Brenda, hop on my butt.
You can't blame Brenda for being a little silly right here, because what's going on inside is her heart is racing a mile a minute, because until Dylan fucking took off that motorcycle helmet, she thought some dude just drove by on a motorcycle while she was jogging in a tank top and then immediately did a fucking U-turn and started following her.
Yeah, that's a good point. Real sudden.
Yes, exactly.
Just shoots her with a silenced pistol and drives away.
Beaver Patrol.
Better episode, honestly.
Yeah, Jim Walsh wouldn't even fucking throw her a funeral. I can't be spending this much money, Cindy.
Just cremate it and get rid of it. Listen, Brandon has a basketball game I gotta go to.
Just bury her in a fucking pile of salt like they do in my favorite movie, Nightmare Beach.
What happened? Brenda got shot in the head. Oh, it's a bummer. Brandon got a C on a history test? Stop everything. I'm coming home now. So whatever.
No, tell the house cleaner that we got some new mystery meat. We would like some enchiladas.
Oh my God. You could say we just ate Brenda and she's in our stomachs right now.
Oh, do you have some brenchiladas, dude?
Yes.
Oh my God.
There's some weird orange hair in my enchilada. So they fix her hair.
You know, it's funny. I always used to say Brenda wouldn't amount to anything, but she came out pretty good.
They hate that girl. So they fix her hair and blah, blah, blah. Brenda sort of sets up that, you know, Dylan is now interested in her. And Brendan's like, wait a minute. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Someone's talking to my sister and it's not the wall.
The wall.
So that's kind of the end of her story. Her hair is back to normal. We get into Brandon decides to, he's not cheating on the test. He gets to take the final test. And Mr. Denzel's like, all right, here's all your tests. Now, I want you to take them and tear them right up.
Oh, man, it's fucking hilarious. He's like, take them. Now, I want you to look at it. Look at it. Now, tear it up. Look at it. Look at it. This dude tell them to look at it. It's pretty great.
Brandon, look at it. So he's like, I'm going to ask you, and I guess this guy's never learned of essay question in the fucking 60-year career of him teaching, never asked anyone a fucking essay question.
Essay question? What, they just invent that or something?
So he asks him an essay question, and like Steve's like fucking sunk, that racist gets his just desserts, and this is what Brandon does do. Well, my friend told me how to live a good life, Andrea. I'm never going to fuck you. Just want to let you know that, but going to keep you on the line for a little while.
Yeah, this friend of mine, I mean, you know, she's pretty nice. She's very smart, Jewish, wears glasses, lives on the wrong side of the tracks. You don't know her, though.
Oh, well into her 40s. So whatever, we all learn a lesson.
Celebrated the bicentennial at a bar.
I'm now forgetting because I even just watched this right before we started. What's the blackout line here in this episode?
Oh, it's fucking crazy, dude. So he has one last exchange with Dan Zell.
Yes,
of
course.
Oh, this is great.
And he goes, nice suit, by the way. And this dude goes, it is hideous, isn't it?
I know I look like fucking shit, okay? Okay, is that what you wanted, Brendan?
Which it's so great, like, and it would be great, like, just end the episode on a joke like that. They kind of have a laugh, but then Brandon's got to fucking sour it with his schmaltz and just goes, "Yeah, but you wear it well, And then, like, he it's like a fade to black as Brandon walks down the hallway.
Yeah, it looks good on you, though.
Yes. Oh, you know what, suit, Mr.
This fucking suit's terrible. What, do you give you a full, free bowl of soup with this suit?
Yes.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.
I love one of his Peach Pit trips. He's wearing like a full-on leisure suit, and it looks fucking awesome. It's it like navy cool. blue, and there's like a floral pattern shirt.
There's like a pocket on it, too, like a chest pocket on this suit jacket. It's very cool.
This guy could have been like a regular at like Richard Dawson house parties or something.
Of course. That's where his wife died.
Richard Dawson's pool.
Yeah. He kissed her a little too hard and she drowned.
Now, Mr. Dangel, 100 people have seen your wife.
Richard, my wife's back there with an ass in her cock.
We asked 100 people to bone your wife, and they all said yes.
What is she now? Let's look at the big board. Dog food. She's dead.
Bing! So whatever, that's kind of the episode there. What's everybody feeling here? This was, again, really regular, degular, A story, B story, only on the twins. Eric Siska, how you feeling? Are you looking forward to more of this? You ever want to get out of your house again or no?
No, you know what? I'm going to start wishing never to leave the house because then I feel like then the lockdown will end. You know?
That's a good call. Yeah, start negging this lockdown a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. Like, I've been trying to be all like romancy, but you got to do the neg first. So I'm going to say this episode, even though it was very regular, degular, I found it comforting. And
yes,
it kind of was like, we're into the grooves of the show a little bit now that I don't need to be fed everything. And I'm like, got it. Okay, that guy's a dick. He's still being a dick. Okay. All right. I don't need to learn anything. And neither do I guess Brandon learns not to cheat. Interesting episode. I'm excited for the rest. Sure.
Parting shots, Chris Cabot. Fuck Brandon Walsh! Okay, oh, that was great. Thank you very much.
I want to mention that on the thing we use to record this remotely, we can name our audio tracks, and Chris Cabin usually names it something like Kill Brandon, I Hate Brandon, Kill All Brandon Super Pack. He's getting creative with it.
Kill All Brandon Super Pack was pretty great.
Andrew Jupin?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. This is much like last week's 90210, it's very much a cookie cutter teen problem episode, right? Like last week, it was like we're doing a race relations thing, which a lot of shows have done. This episode is, oh, now someone's cheating on a test, aren't they? Which, again, has been done 1,000 times. So I don't know why, but I did like it more than last week's episode as far as, well, I mean, I guess I know why. I mean, they handle cheating on a test better than they handle race relations.
Yeah.
But it felt less of a after school special type thing, I guess is what I'm saying, even though it's a well, you know, well laid ground of cheating on a test kind of plot line. But again, dude, like I'm missing more Dylan. I'm waiting for another Dylan centric episode. I know it's not next week. That's more of a Kelly territory, which is fine. Because I am just excited to have centric episodes on characters that are not these twins.
Yeah.
And I know we're getting there.
So, yeah, I mean, I agree. I like this episode. It was fun enough. I actually like the performance of Mr. Dangel for some reason. It's a nice little performance.
Yes.
I think, it's kind of amazing that Jim Walsh refuses to learn this lesson. So last week, he's like, I'm going to push Brandon to be a basketball star. And everyone's like, stop. And he's like, I'm going to push Brandon to be a history star. Stop.
Yep, exactly.
And meanwhile, Brenda is like fucking dying on the inside. It was a totally fun episode. Yes, next week is a banger of an ep. I'm not going to oversell it, but there's some spills and chills and all sorts of fun stuff. It's probably one of my favorite episodes of the first season, just an FYI.
Oh my god, now this is quite the hype, dude.
Wow. You know, I thought I was trying to wish away my life and time before, but now I'm really excited to get to the next fucking week of this shit.
Yeah, dude, it's super exciting. Everything's great. This is obviously we have Melrose Place coming up on Thursday, the return of Malachi Throne.
Oh yeah, dude.
And we've also got a ton of great stuff going on. We're starting Pirates Month, guys, because it's all May and early June. We're getting into all of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. We've already laid two or three down as of this recording, and I can tell you we talk a lot about other things than the pirate movies. They're a lot of fun.
You know, if you think, oh, I'm going to get exhausted by that conversation, nope, you won't.
Yeah, it's different. Because the last thing we want to do is talk about those movies. So it's actually kind of great. They're just like free chats.
Yeah.
A free space. Noise.
Whatever you want to rap about.
Yeah, so that's coming up. We got on our Patreon feed. As always, we will not be doing pirate stuff. We're going to be doing The Ring as a We Love Movie episode from Gore Verbinski's The Ring, not Ringu. That'll be fun. Some Naomi Watts, some fucking Brian Cox.
I'm totally pumped for that, actually, because I have not rewatched this movie since college.
Same. Yeah.
I'm super excited to revisit.
We'll get to it in the episode, but I saw it pretty recently. And I will say, yeah, we got Animation Damnation. The Jetsons is coming this month, and we've got a cool Gleep glossary on some pig guards.
Yes,
it's gonna be a lot of fun.
We're doing one of the Gormarian guards from Jabba's palace, because once lockdown ends, we are all going to be giant pig people emerging.
Dude,
from the darkness.
I gotta tell you. Speaking of giant pig people, just putting it out on the table. Yesterday, I put on a We Hate Movies hoodie that I haven't worn in a while, and my first thought was, wow, this wasn't always this tight.
Oh, it sure wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
It's really hitting me. We're recording this episode on my birthday, and I'm like, I need to get my fucking life together. Like, this is fucking, it's like a reckoning.
So that's it for this week. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you tomorrow and Thursday. We just got too much fucking content to talk about. So until next time, I have been Steven Sadak.
Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy and remain indoors.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.